Up to 70,000 Syrian Kurdish refugees have flooded across the border into Turkey over the weekend. The Kurds are fleeing Islamic State militants as they advance on the North Syrian region of Kobani. Kurdish forces have evacuated at least 100 villages on the Syrian side since the latest Islamic State onslaught started just last Tuesday. This comes as IS militants freed 49 Turkish diplomats who they'd been holding hostage. Hugh Pope is the International Crisis Group's Turkey expert. He spoke with James Carlton from his home in Istanbul about the Kurdish refugee crisis.
The Syrian Kurdish population, they've been surrounded for months by the jihadis of the Islamic State, and they are now fleeing into Turkey, and they are joining 1.5 million or so other Syrian refugees in Turkey, and they are in a grave situation. They've already been living in considerable hardship for many months, and many of them are quite traumatized by their experiences. And Turkey's going to need a lot of help from the outside world.
Certainly the humanitarian implications are self-evident, but what are the political implications of the Kurdish situation changing in such a dramatic way in eastern Turkey?
I think that in terms of the Syrian conflict, obviously this is an apparent advance by the jihadis of the Islamic State that has an effect on the political balances in northern Syria, which I think will alarm all the neighbouring countries, including Turkey. The arrival of more Syrian Kurds here in Turkey upsets the rather delicate balance between Turks and the Kurdish communities here, who are about 12 to 15% of the country. There's been an insurgency in Turkey for the past 30 years, and the Syrian Kurds' arrival has certainly inflamed sentiments. I live in the centre of Istanbul, and today there was an unprecedented demonstration on the central street in front of my house, in which there were a large crowd of 2,000 or 3,000 were all shouting the name of the insurgent group, the PKK, and calling out their support for the PKK leader. I think that the Turkish police showed great maturity in standing to one side, allowing the demonstration to go forward. It was pretty physically unthreatening, but it was a very emotional demonstration. And this symbolizes a kind of support for the Syrian Kurds that there is in Turkey, whereas Turkey as a government is trying to keep a neutral position, trying to contain the situation, trying not to take sides.
That no problems attitude of Turkey, where they endeavour not to have any difficulties with any neighbours, if I may put it simplistically, seemed like a good idea at the time, but it does appear to have failed miserably with the benefit of hindsight, would you not say?
Through no fault of Turkey's. Indeed, it was a naive policy perhaps, but as you suggested, trying to make a kind of European Union in the Middle East to get infrastructure joined up, to get political leaders meeting, to have a free trade area, all this is a very good idea, but it turned out that the Middle East simply wasn't ready for this. And indeed, the policy, as you said, has collapsed, and worse than collapsed, it's exploded back into Turkey with this huge refugee population that will be some kind of security risk for Turkey, because most of them are now registered after 3 years. Nobody knows quite who they are. Turkey plays much more by European and Western rules than the other Middle Eastern states. And so it doesn't want to have police checkpoints on every corner, and therefore may be vulnerable, especially given its large tourist industry, if any of the Syrian factions gets angry with it. So in a sense, that very ambitious policy in the late 2000s has collapsed and has the potential for blowing back.
And how has the Turkish attitude to the Syrian civil war and now Iraq changed since that time?
Well, it was the start. It was very anti-Bashar al-Assad. Turkey was very angry and disappointed in the way he had just thrown aside all their advice about having a peaceful resolution of those early demonstrations. And Turkey then thought that Bashar al-Assad would be in a weak position, coming from a small minority in Syria and seeing that 70% of the country is Sunni Muslim. Turkey feels that that's an actual majority, and that given the fate of the regimes in Tunisia, Libya and Egypt, then Syria wouldn't be far behind. So they took a very aggressive position. And it turned out that they completely misjudged the resilience of the Bashar al-Assad regime and also the level to which the West was ready to take Bashar al-Assad on, despite the high talk. And one shouldn't forget that Turkey was doing very much the same things as Western powers were doing in calling for the ouster of Bashar al-Assad. The trouble is that being an island in the North Sea and calling for Bashar al-Assad's ouster is one thing, whereas being a neighbour with a 900-kilometre border with Syria is quite another. And I think that the policy is now, after 3 years, with no sign of Bashar al-Assad leaving, and this new really grave risk to Turkey of the jihadi militants on Turkey's border, Turkey is moving to a policy of containment rather than engagement, and will be trying to the extent possible, exercising real control of its border. And yesterday, the 49 diplomatic hostages that the jihadis were holding in northern Iraq were freed to Turkey. I think that the Islamic State people who released these Turkey diplomats must have felt that they had a strong position and didn't need them anymore as a kind of human shield against Turkey. They must feel confident that Turkey will not attack them.
So does this mean the US cannot expect Turkey to be a part of any coalition against IS, a military engagement against IS in either Syria or Iraq?
I absolutely don't think that Turkey would be ready to join any kind of massive onslaught. And that's because Turkey is a Sunni Muslim country. They do see the Sunni Muslims of the Arab world as being victims at the moment, and they very much see the Islamic State as being a symptom rather than a cause of the problem. And they will like to deal with the causes, which they see as unbalanced governments in Iraq, in Syria, and in Egypt that have been against the conservative Muslims, Sunni Muslims, that Turkey, the current Turkish government feels very sympathetic towards.
And it's because of that Alawi dictatorship of Bashar al-Assad that Turkey for so long allowed its border to remain open, allowing fighters to move south into Syria. What will be Turkey's attitude to its border now? You mentioned they may be willing to tighten the border, but is it actually physically possible to close such a large border?
It was in the Cold War. There was a big fence and minefields, and very few things crossed that border, but it was completely dismantled during the last 10 years. And it's very porous now and corrupted, and The jihadis have learned all the secret ways back and forth, and it's going to be very difficult to get a grip on again.
I see. And could you speak about the oil money that is coming from Iraq and Syria into Turkey illicitly?
Turkey has tried to buy oil and gas eventually from Iraq by all means possible, including truck, as a way of diversifying away from the very heavy dependence it has on Russian oil and gas. That is yet to be concluded. There's a dribble of oil across that's smuggled from Syria that some people believe is a significant factor for the Islamic State finances. But I don't think that's a government policy. That's individual entrepreneurs along the border taking advantage of holes in barbed wire.
That's Hugh Pope. He's the International Crisis Group's expert in Turkey. He was in Istanbul speaking with James Carlton.